Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Hi guys, just a quick note. This episode, we're covering the film Get Out, and we're going to be doing spoilers from the beginning. So if you haven't seen Get Out yet, which we highly recommend you should, go watch Get Out now and then come back and listen to this episode where we talk about Get Out sometimes, but there's a lot of like digressions into crazy ass bullshit. But anyway, enjoy the episode and we'll see you next time.
We're talking again.
Our bodies want me.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brandon Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2017 horror comedy Get Out, starring Daniel Kaluuya and Allison Williams, where a young African-American visits his white girlfriend's parents for the weekend, where his simmering uneasiness about their reception of him eventually reaches a boiling point. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Faces. So, on to Get Out. This film was a giant hit, propelling Jordan Peele's directing career, garnering awards and critical acclaim. Now, 7 years on, does the film still have the same impact as when it was released? Lucy.
Oh, yes, for me it does. Yeah.
Because I remember we actually saw this at the cinema together.
Yes.
7 years ago. Yes. I can't believe it's that long ago.
And did we see...
Wait, was I there with you guys?
I think maybe even.
I think so.
I think we were all... Yeah. We all went.
Yeah. Which is funny, isn't it?
And then it was 7 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And did we maybe even see... What's the next one? Us?
Us,
yeah, we saw that for my birthday.
Yeah, we saw that together too.
So Nope will be our first Jordan Peele film that we're not seeing at the cinemas together.
Oh, just because you're going to see it overseas means, you know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you bastard.
But yeah, I remember you being pretty like elated after that film and you were like freaked out and you were saying how tense you were throughout the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
Did you feel that on the rewatch?
Okay, so I had to watch this movie in my breaks at work on my phone with headphones and I had to like hide it from everyone because obviously not everybody wants to see like people's brains getting cut open and stuff. So even with that, all that like going against it, I still was just like, God, this movie's so good. And I even wrote down, I just remember how fun and fresh it was to see at the cinema.
Yeah.
Like, just something different. Like, he didn't reinvent the wheel, but it was different and it's exciting and original and it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when we saw it, that was like the same thing. It was like, oh, like I felt like I had a good bath. I was like, oh, something at the cinema that wasn't like a franchise that was like well done. And I just was immersed because I wasn't paying attention to all these things that on a second watch you come back to and you're like, oh, how did I not see it the whole time? It was because I was just like caught up in the story and I was going along for the ride, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, for a film I've seen before, it just like breezed past this time watching it. It's just so
I know, it's like
well
almost
made.
2 hours and I still was like, oh, that like just punched out. It was great.
Yeah, because it was like it was getting to points in the film. I'm like, oh, we're already up to this part? Like it hasn't been going that long. And then I looked, I was like, it's only got 15 minutes left.
It moves along so well, for sure.
So I think the most like nerve-wracking thing about this time watching it, though, was thinking about the fact that we had to talk about it on the show. I'm like, there's nothing to rip apart here. There's nothing to pay out. What are we going to talk about?
Is that all we are? A bunch of bitches?
I mean, I know I am.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank God we've got segments like Hot or Not to pad this shit out.
Yeah.
I think we did pretty well with Big John Malkovich.
Yes. Yeah.
Once again, Catherine Keener. Outstanding.
Like, Catherine Keener is our like patron saint of good films.
Is she going to get a... Can she get a triple hot? Was she
in
some movie that we watched?
Yes. Spoilers. She was in Switch.
She was barely in it.
Switch with Ellen Barkin. She played
She'll get a triple hot. Well,
possibly.
It remains to be seen. But, yeah. She does play a psycho in this, so.
Which she does very well.
That's hot. Yeah.
I mean, the performances are fantastic. It's well directed. The script is like razor sharp. It's scary when it needs to be. It's funny when it needs to be. You can see why it was such a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I. Attempt the 30-second plot summary.
Ooh, yes. I'd be keen to hear
this. I think it actually being very clear, concise, and well-written, I feel like this will play in your favor.
Yeah, I feel like this might be like a 10-second plot summary.
Ready, set, go.
So, an African-American guy goes to meet his white girlfriend's family, and everything that seems a bit off, and they've got maid and a gardener that are African-American that seem off, and then he realizes that they're actually harvesting black people and putting their own brains in their bodies because they covet them, and then they capture him, and then he breaks free and kills them all, and that's the movie.
There you go.
On the dot.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so it is like... yeah, it is a slow burn in terms of, like, it doesn't tell you what's actually going on till way later in the film.
Yes.
So there isn't a whole lot of plot here, but it's just that general sense of, like, uneasiness and, like, what the fuck is going on here that's just so well done.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that so good because, like, it's not like a jump scare and it doesn't, like, nobody's coming out with a knife from behind the bushes or whatever. It just builds and builds this sense of like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? What is going on here?
Yeah. And like the maid in particular that we find out, I probably should have put a spoiler warning at the beginning of this episode.
Seriously, seven years. Yeah.
I might actually, I'll record one and we'll put it in before the episode starts. But the maid who we then find out later is actually the grandma in the maid's body.
Mm.
That performance is phenomenal.
Yeah, like, isn't it?
Especially knowing all the information from the beginning on a rewatch.
On this second watch.
And all the nuances, that is a perfect performance.
Yeah. That is an old granny, like an old white lady.
Mm. Like, you know, this is a body swap podcast, so like I guess we can go in it from that angle, and that is a great swap performance. One of the all-time greats, I'd say, and for such a small role as well.
And I think the same for Lakeith Stanfield as well.
Yes,
you know, like the way, you know, he's like, oh, it's so good to see I'm not the only black guy here, and he like puts his hand out for a fist bump, and the other guy like grabs his hand like he doesn't know what to do, and it's like another guy, they're the same age, and he plays that really well.
And then that moment when the flash happens and he's suddenly unlocked out of the brain and he's like, get out, and just like, that is a great moment, and he sells it so well.
I wrote as well, it's like maybe the only time I've ever not hated someone saying the title of a movie in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, the way it always seems really, like, cheesy.
Yeah.
Like in The Devil Wears Prada, it's like,
Do they do it in that?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of a ridiculous, like, how do you shoehorn that into a script?
Yeah.
Or the final line of Schindler's List, where they're like, that was Schindler's List.
Oh, boy.
All right, I've finished my list. And Schindler goes to bed.
I think Gone Baby Gone did it real bad.
Yeah.
From memory. It was like, oh, no, you didn't know.
So, as a body swap film, I was trying to think of what films we've covered that kind of have a similar swap mechanic. And I think the closest that we've come to is maybe All of Me, the Steve Martin, Lily Tomlin one, where it's two brains in the same body fighting for control.
Malkovich.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, when the Flash thing happens, it's like for a moment there, like the person whose body it really is in control.
Yeah.
And it's like they're watching from the sunken place. Isn't that like in Malkovich? Mm. It's like you're behind the eyes, especially at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Did you have another thought?
Well, isn't it a bit more like Mama Boy because it's like surgical in nature rather than...
Yeah, I mean, that is true. Mama Boy and this one are the only ones with surgical swaps.
Yeah.
Until we fucking do face off.
What about Selfless? Was that surgical?
Yeah, Selfless, actually.
Oh, yeah, Selfless was a surgical.
Was he still, like, present in...
Yes, because that was the whole point of that one.
Yeah.
So it was... Was Get Out a ripoff of Selfless?
No, Get Out was not a ripoff. Get Out was not a ripoff of anything. It was fresh as fuck.
I guess, was there any other swaps that we saw? It's only really the two that we get to see in this.
And the grandpa.
And the grandfather.
Yeah, the grandfather in the gardener, right?
And
yeah, and
Lakeith Stanfield.
And Lakeith Stanfield. Oh, so we can see three.
Mm.
It is a pretty fucking terrifying concept, the sunken place and being stuck in your body with someone else in control.
Yeah.
It reminded me of I did like disabled care for a while.
Yeah.
And one of the things in our training is we had to write a letter to ourselves to say, like, if you were to be, like, paralyzed completely, write a letter to, like, whoever's taking care of you. And, like, everyone else's was, like, super, like, dark. They were pretty much, like, end me. Like,
yeah.
And mine was, like, I like these sorts of TV shows, but I don't want to watch TV all the time. Take me for walks.
Did you ever see that film or read that book, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about the guy that had a stroke and all he had was his left eye, and like that was the only thing he still had control over. And he wrote a whole book by them spelling out an alphabet, and he would blink on the letter that he wanted to form words.
Because that for years they just thought he was completely paralyzed.
Mm. And in that book, it talks about how he'd be at the facility that he was living in, and he'd be watching the soccer, and it'd be like, a player would just be going to kick a goal and someone would come in and change the channel, and he just had no way of being like, fucking put it back. I want to see the score. I want to see. Yeah, full on.
Yeah, now that movie was intense.
Yeah. And like I've read that book. Like I've held it in my hands. And when you think about every single letter, what it took, it's like, holy shit.
So where he wrote it with one eye.
Yeah.
Wow.
He does always communication through blinks. But for years, they didn't realize. They thought he was a complete vegetable.
And that it was just like ticks.
He was in the sunken place. Like,
yeah, he was essentially in the sunken place. And then eventually this nurse realized that he wasn't actually like cognizant.
So completely fine. His understanding, his comprehension was still fine. All he had control over was one eye.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like what does that do to your sanity? Like,
yeah.
Well, Brendan, like you know you're saying
some fortitude to...
Yeah, what those people said in the letters, the first thing he says once she figures it out and spells out, gives him the alphabet and gives him the tool to spell out words, the first thing he says is, I want death. End me.
This is a real fun podcast.
Oh, no. Anyway, that's a great movie and a great book. It's not tenuous time, but...
Yeah. I was actually thinking as we were talking about this, I probably should have just done that as my tenuous. But
Yeah, it didn't occur to me until now. Yeah. So back to the movie.
So, but I think that the real plus of this film is that it is as equally funny as it is scary.
Yeah, isn't it? It is so funny.
Yeah, and there is some, like, Little Rel Howery, is that his name? The best friend. He is, I feel like, a highlight of this film.
Oh, completely. Like, yeah. And you know the way, like, a wisecracking best friend is, like, a trope? But he's like, I'm going to fucking save the day. Like, nobody's going to believe me and I'm going to fucking work all this shit out. And it, like, and I love that he's, like, the victor. It's so good. Yeah.
And I think the thing that makes him, because it is such a trope, but I think usually that character is, like, the hapless boob that is always talking bullshit and not competent. But I think the fact that he is competent and is actually knows what's going on and saves the day just makes him that much better of a character. And like, you just rooting for him. I feel like a worse film would have written that character in a completely different way that would have just made him insufferable.
Yeah.
And then that ending, like, I think, like, just to make him a TSA agent, just so you could have a car with, like, police lights.
Like, you think it's the cops and your heart is just
Your heart drops. You're like, oh, no. Like, even this time, I had that feeling again when I saw that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yes, it's the friend. Yes.
Yeah. TS motherfucking A. Yeah.
And Alison Williams as the girlfriend, just that complete turn that she has once you realize
and
that
she holds the keys
really
up
evil.
And she's like, I do have them and I can't give them to you. You're like, you're a psycho.
That was something I appreciated the second watch, is because you know that who she is. Just seeing how, not just like, you know, she's doing this thing to manipulate him, but she's like playing with it. She's like loves it. Because by that time, the jig is up. Everyone knows what's going on. And she's still, like, playing concerned that she's looking for her keys.
Yeah, like, maybe then, she's on the right team.
Like, but she's like, what's going on? Yeah, but it's clear she's just fucking around. Yeah.
And also, the scariest thing in this whole movie is her just sitting there with headphones on, drinking milk.
And eating Fruit Loops.
Like, I know, it's like deconstructed cereal. Like, it's like how you'd get it served at a hipster restaurant. And it's like the milk has a straw in it. I just, something about her drinking the milk is like, ooh.
Do you think she plays a liar so well because of the experience that she got from her father in real life?
I don't know what you're referring to. Dish the dirt.
Because her father is like a famous journalist in America, and didn't he pretend to be in a plane crash in Afghanistan or something, and like claimed it for years, and then it came out that it was all a lie?
Is this you're saying this sort of like a question? Maybe you get your facts straight before we just start.
Basically, without any evidence, this guy's a piece of shit. I'm gonna look it up because I'm sure this is a thing. Brian, here we go. Williams' past reporting has come under new scrutiny after revelations earlier this week that he had peddled a false story about what he described as a near-death experience in which a U.S. Army helicopter he was riding in Iraq in 2003 came under RPG and AK-47 fire. The story was exposed by U.S. soldiers as false. William called it a mistake and apologized.
Wait, he said it was a mistake.
Yeah,
like,
he accidentally said that he was in a helicopter.
They got shot at. Yeah,
they got shot at by RPGs.
I was watching a movie and fell asleep.
Jeepers.
Who was that guy from, like, the League who pretended he was in 9/11?
I did hear about that.
Just, like, ruined his entire career.
In real life, he did that.
Yeah. So, like, he basically he's this actor, and he said that he was in the towers when the planes crashed. And that was completely fake.
Wow, the tangents we've gone on are really dark. It's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so awful when people exploit these real life situations. Like, as a survivor of the Japanese tsunamis, like, wait. I really feel.
I was like,
you must wait, edit that out. This? You simply must.
I got hypnotized last night.
Nigga, get the fuck out of here.
Yo, to quit smoking, but it's Rose's mom's a psychiatrist, so.
Bruh, I don't care if the bitches are Yana Van Zant, okay? She can't fix my motherfucking life. You ain't getting in my head.
I know she called me off guard, right? But it's cool, because I'm cured. It worked.
Bruh, how you not scared of this, man? Look, they could have made you do all types of stupid shit. They'd have you fucking barking like a dog.
Flying around like you're a fucking pigeon.
Looking ridiculous, okay? Or, I don't know if you know this, white people love making people sex slaves and shit.
So, Brendan let slip before we started recording, because we were like, what the fuck are we going to talk about in this episode? that he actually has been hypnotized before.
Oh, my God. So
please, Brendan, was it anything like this film?
I guess it was a lot of white people.
Yeah, okay. Apart from the fact that everyone was white.
I was at a Christian camp. Yeah, have you guys been hypnotized before?
No, I've never been in a scenario where it's like been on the table. Like, where do you even go for that to happen?
Christian camp.
Christian
apparently.
Camps, yeah. It's full of hypnotists.
See, I thought Christians,
I thought they
like,
thought that was devil's work.
Yeah, I thought hypnotism is like demonic.
No, she was a therapist, so it's like legitimate. It wasn't like a stage show. It was like,
what did she make you do?
It was sort of, sorry?
What did she make you do?
She made me kill every no
is this to like stop your crippling like masturbation addiction or something?
Yeah It was just bringing everyone
every
in the
time
countdown,
you touch yourself you'll want to vomit.
I so already feel that way.
It was
that was dark.
She was just on a, we were on a camp, we were chatting, and like
this is I was not good,
talking
Brendan.
To her
this
about
is, like not ethical.
I was talking to her about hypnotherapy, and she was like, yeah, it's a legitimate thing, and I've like been trained to do it, and I was like, hypnotize me, and like all she did was make me like raise my hand and then come down.
And you remembered the whole thing?
Yeah. I was in a room full of people.
So, like, did you feel like, what did you feel when that was happening?
Well, it's not, like, this is, like, movie, like, hypnotism. This is being able to paralyze someone without their own, like, will. Like, it was just, it was interesting. There was, like, a sort of a test she made me do to see if I was susceptible.
Yeah.
And some people are, like, super susceptible and some people aren't.
Yeah.
But it was basically just, like, you know, you hold your hands out. And it's like, pretend you have a magnet in like your hands, and they're just like the strength of the magnet is pulling it closer and closer.
Yeah.
And then people, I remember telling someone else this, and they're like, do it to me. And so I do it, and they just close their eyes, and their hands just go immediately. Whereas,
so,
yeah, other people, it's a bit slowly.
And then she tapped the teacup 3 times, and that was it.
Yeah.
He sunk into the chair.
So just steering it back to the movie.
Oh yeah. what film are we doing again?
I just
Get Out,
loved the hypnotism scene.
Yeah.
Because I love that actor's so great. What is his name, sorry?
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah. You can see him losing his grip, and you can see him getting really confused. And the whole teacup thing, like, how eerie is that? So simple, but so fucking creepy. And I love the way, like, the tears individually, like, blip out of his eyes. So, like, powerful.
And they just go, like, super red, bloodshot. Yeah. It was super intense. But something I didn't pick up the first time, though, I was even more appreciative of. So, when the grandmother, being the maid, is serving the drinks on the porch, I never realized, like, when she like sort of freezes and she starts to overflow the drink and stuff, it's because the mother was stirring her tea and accidentally hit the side of the teacup.
No,
and it's
I didn't
just
even
like,
notice
no,
that.
No, me either. Good one.
Yeah. Mm. It's just things like that. You're like, oh, like.
So, like, intricate.
So satisfying to have watched an entire film where something's like right in front of your face,
still
smacking
like
you
surprise.
Around.
Yeah.
And at the end, you're like, what?
And I love as well, like, when he breaks free and he goes upstairs mm-hmm. and, like, he sees Catherine Keener and, like, looks at the kitchen counter and the fucking teacup is there. Mm-hmm. And it's like they have this moment and you're like, yeah, and he smashes it and you're like, fuck yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, has there been a more triumphant scene about breaking smashing teacups? Smashing a teacup. Just trying to think if there's anything else to talk about in this film.
Well, I feel like we'd be remiss not to talk about how, like, clever the movie is, that it sort of works on this whole other level that we as mm-hmm. white people couldn't even begin to understand. But it's like Jordan Peele was able to put probably real life experiences of what it's like to be the only person of color in a room, and like just the stupid shit that white people say to you, or like touch your hair or your arm, or talk about like do you play basketball, or and even just the whole thing is like an allegory for cultural appropriation, right? Like, it's like they're literally stealing the bodies of black people to,
but also how it seamlessly, like, you know, works with the story as
completely,
well,
because
you know, you have those moments where, like, the wife of the guy in the wheelchair is like, is it true what they say about, like, the size of their, you know, penises and that, and it's like, on whatever level, that's like you were saying, like, those gross stereotypes that are very, like, awkward for people to have to deal with all the time.
Yeah.
But then at another level, she's like, oh, will my husband have in this guy's body dick? Have a new big dick for me?
Yeah. No, it is very clever. And yeah, all those scenes on a rewatch work so much better because you're seeing all the double meanings and you're completely understanding.
And the same with everything the brother is kind of doing.
What a fucking
weasel, total weasel. Yeah.
Have you seen him do anything but be like, I've seen him in the Twin Peaks Return, and he just plays another crazy loser psycho.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen him play something not awful. He was the robot in the Tom Hanks film Finch. So
there was an actor playing that robot?
Well, he was voicing it.
I still haven't watched that. Is it good?
It was really good. I'm surprised. I'm shocked you haven't watched it. It's like
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks in every frame of the fucking movie.
You know what's so funny is we have gone to watch it a few times. And then it's just been like, this is like about the end of the world.
End of the world?
Yeah, I was like, I just don't know. So, and I think it came out not long after Otis was born, and I could not deal with shit like that. I was like, we're all going to live forever. Like, my son is safe. Like, because, you know, it was the pandemic as well.
Yeah.
It still is. But I was just like, every time I was like, can't do it.
I have to say, like, I am pretty averse to, like, apocalypse stuff now, like, since the pandemic. Like, it doesn't appeal to me as much.
Yo, I just want to watch Contagion so bad. I still have never seen it.
I watched Contagion, like, way before the pandemic, and that's probably the scariest movie I've ever watched.
Mm.
Just because
I've, like, seen Outbreak.
It just felt real.
I've seen Outbreak, which was that kind of thing, but more 90s.
Yeah. Like, Blindness? Was like one that was like, oh, this feels all too real and gross.
Yeah, I never watched that one, but I know it. Back to Finch, it is.
We're talking about Get Out.
Before we get back to
my
tangent,
Finch
is a much more hopeful film than you think it will be.
Okay.
And it's actually quite heartwarming, and it's not going to give you existential dread.
Okay.
It's just a nice watch.
I mean, it is America's Dad. It's America's Dad, so, you know, there's got to be some hope in there.
Did it give you dread?
Not existential dread. It just reminded me I'm going to die.
Oh, most things do, though, yeah.
Sorry?
Most things do.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I guess you're going to move on. I just want to ask if it's even worth entertaining. In the world of Get Out, what... Yeah. Like, they're leaving, they're driving away. What do they do? What happens? Do they not tell anyone? And they just, because no one's going to believe them and it's crazy, so they just die with their secret? Or do they go to those cops? Or what do they do?
Yeah, because the thing is, he did call the cops. So they're going to have to follow it up.
Yes.
And, but I feel like what would happen
is he'd get in trouble.
No, oh. I feel like the...
I don't know. Have you seen the news at all in America ever?
No. My theory is that the white people, because obviously they're all quite connected and rich and will probably want to continue the program. And I'm sure there's not only one doctor in the world that can do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing they would cover the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And he would probably think, there's no point of me trying to push this because no one's going to believe me, or I could get in trouble myself.
Mm.
And I feel like he would just go back to living his normal life. They'll clean it up and find a new doctor and continue doing it forever.
Mm.
Like everyone dies and the house burns down. And that seemed like it was the only place this was happening.
Do you think it would be the only place that this was happening? If this was in the universe of this film, it's a possibility, which means that rich people all over the world are doing
because,
it.
Because, I mean, there was a Japanese guy. There was a Japanese guy at the auction. Mm. I wonder if, like, people from all over the world do come to bid for these bodies. Because you have to wonder because that town's not full of black people. So I feel like it is shipped out, you know, people are buying them. And
It seemed that their family, like, came up with it and they were withholding the secrets of their success rather than, you know, passing that information on to others.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of fan, like, theories about the program
itself. I was reading up on, like, the history of Jordan Peele's story writing. Yeah. And he, in his own, like, background of these characters, had, like, picture them being parts of like the Knights Templar and stuff like that.
Fully. So, especially because the way the auction happens, it's all very like ceremony, like it all felt the very
bingo cards instead of that was a good touch.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
So how handsome is he?
Are you handsome?
Okay.
Oh.
Not bad. Hey, Nielsen. So, is it true? Is it better?
Wow.
So, you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Lucy.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not. Ding.
Ding.
Everyone is beautiful
in their own way. So, we'll start with Alison Williams as Rose, the girlfriend. Hot or not?
So, obviously, she's hot. Like, she's a pretty girl. She plays a complete and utter psycho, and seeing like the duality of like just the way she just turns is like terrifying. And also, you know, obviously I know her mainly from Girls.
Yeah.
Where she plays Marnie, who is also a total psycho.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think she's that thing of like, it's fine if she's over there, but it's like, you don't want that close to you. You don't want that in your orbit. She's bringing the trouble.
In the second half of the film, when she's gone complete psycho, was it just me or
her clothes got really bad?
Well, that, but her eyes changed.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the makeup changed.
Like, but, like, I feel like her pupils were black.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I think they were definitely
completely dilated.
Definitely doing something to her to, like, make her look as freaky as possible. Oh, my God. Brendan, like,
her hair back.
Brendan, your hand just came out of nowhere from the frame, and we're talking about a scary movie. You freaked me. I was like, look behind you. Get out. Yeah,
when she was in her like her white skivvy and had her hair tied straight back, I think they were just going for like super
white, like, tip-top bread. Yeah,
and like her skin was like, you could tell they like took away any makeup that was softening her, and
yeah,
she
was greased,
always
up.
Like glistening.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm gonna give her a not, with the caveat that obviously generally she's a hot.
Yeah.
I'll give her a hot.
You're gonna you don't mind even the psycho version?
Yeah.
Like okay. I said, it's fine if she's over there, like, but don't come near me because
yeah, it's the same with in girls. It's like she's a beautiful woman, and as soon as you scratch, but
do
that
not
surface,
date her because she will ruin your life.
Bradley Whitford as the dad.
An interesting one.
Dilf energy, Lucy.
He was so painful. I would have voted for Obama a third time. My man, yeah. All of that. He was so painful. So again, in a vacuum, I can recognize that he is a handsome man, but he was like a loser, dickhead, psycho. So I'm giving him a nod. You guys think I'm going to lust after the silver fox? Well, I'm not giving you the satisfaction.
Like, apart from, you know, everything about his personality and actions, he's hot. Like, the way he dressed was very nice. Like,
I love the way that you'll give it to him, but not to Marnie. Not to Alison Williams, I mean. You're like, yeah, not for me, but when it's the DILF, like you said.
The thing is like, she had a physical transformation when she turned evil, whereas he
literally cuts the brain out. You saw him do that.
Yeah, dress like a surgeon. Like,
surgeons are hot.
They earn good money. That was a good house.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm giving him a hot. Brendan?
Nah.
Okay, so here's crunch time. Are we awarding a triple hot to Catherine Keener as Missy Armitage?
I'm saying yes.
Ooh.
It's just
she Catherine just is Keener. Mother. Like, yeah, she is. You got to give it to her, man.
It's the sassy, like, I'm an asshole, but I'm so good at it.
Yeah.
And obviously, this is in a different league, but it was still there and I loved it.
Do you think it's a bit of like that kind of straight guy thing that wants like an older woman
to be bossed around? Yeah. You want to be bossed around by Catherine Keener?
Take me to the sunken place, baby.
From Catherine Keener? Sure.
I'll sink your place.
You know what? I'll give her a hot as well. I appreciated the energy. Mm. But again, I mean, she's also a fucking awful
psycho
person.
And especially because she's the one that can do the hypnotism. Like, she is so dangerous. So scary.
Yeah.
So dangerous.
Ooh. Ooh.
What are you going to do to me, Catherine Keener?
So, we were talking about him before, Caleb Landry Jones as the brother, Jeremy.
Yeah, okay, can I just say, is it weird that you've done all the white characters first?
Oh. Is that a bad thing?
You might want to edit that up, especially the film is.
I think you were just going through the family.
Yeah, I'm just going like, I didn't want to. Okay. I'm basically the villain of this movie. okay, so Caleb Landry Jones as the brother.
Weasel, not to get him away from me. And he's like, he's not even like, he doesn't have the psycho change. He like immediately tells on himself. He's like immediately psycho and scary and weaselly. I'd be, if I got cornered by that guy at a bar, I'd be like, I have to go straight away. I could it like radiates off him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't, he can't even have that like that mask pull off moment.
Yeah.
Like he's got the wispy hair and
so well cast.
And there was like a light like the lightest of mustaches. Yeah. It was just Weasley was a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean I'm partial to a ginger, but
I love a ginger. I love me some Ronald Weasley, but not this guy.
Yeah, he wasn't doing it for me. So, Little Rel Howery as the best friend, Rod.
He gets a hot. He's got, like, Jack Black energy. He gets a hot from me. He fucking, like I said, he was the victor. He saved the day. He didn't give up on his friend. Great qualities. Funny. You got a woman laughing. You got a woman loving. He gets a hot.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a hot. I actually really like the way he dressed as well. Yeah. I thought he had good style.
He's employed. Good for him.
I love, like, his relationship with the dog as well.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Hot. But what do you rate the dog, Paul?
Nothing along.
Brandon, are you giving him up?
Yes, for all the reasons exclaimed.
Yeah.
I agree.
Daniel Kaluuya as the main character, Chris.
So hot.
Yeah. I'm definitely giving him a hot. like, you know, I love a good shirtless scene. He gave me that. Yeah, and seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah, and his performance was so good. Like, he just was so great. Yeah. And, yeah. Oh, God.
All I could think about, though, was when he won the Oscar this year and he worked the fact that his parents had sex into the Oscar speech.
Yeah.
What was he in?
That was the year before, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it was the fucking terrible pandemic Oscars year that was in the train station. Oh, I didn't watch
that one. What did he win?
He won for Judas and the Black Messiah. Which awesome I would film. Actually say I prefer his, like, obviously he did a great job in that film, but the subtlety of this performance, like, especially on the rewatch, like the amount of, like,
biting the simmering
anger underneath him.
Yeah, he emotes a lot without saying anything, and it's very clever.
Feel it radiating off of him. Mm. Yeah. He just does that so well.
Yeah.
Finally, let's go Stephen Root. As Jim, the man, the blind man that he was going to swap bodies with.
He's getting a knot because he was a creep.
Yeah.
And he did a bad thing. And all I can think of is the Office Space character. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Once again, I feel like he's a man who understands his, like, his range, and I don't think he would be offended if I said he's not the most attractive man in the world.
Also, yeah. I am always offended. Plays a slime ball. You must do Lakeith Stanfield because he is so fine. He'd be like the hottest one in the movie, except for, like, when he gets whitewashed, literally.
I like his outfit when he's lobotomized.
He's dressed in like a barbershop quartet hat. But I just think he's so beautiful.
Yeah, I do agree.
Right. All I know is sometimes, but if there's too many white people, I get nervous, you know.
Do something. That's not my experience. Not at all. The Armitages are so good to us. They treat us like family.
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Get Out from across the interwebs.
Have you guys ever met anyone who hated this film or was like, it's okay?
Okay, so I kind of have a funny story to tell. My mum and dad saw this movie at the cinema, and, you know, they're like progressive people, but they're like getting up there in their years. And, but it's the sort of thing. Did Margaret or David do like an amazing review of this movie?
Possibly. Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, want to be involved in the pop culture, you know? So they're like, they heard so many great things because it was so well received. They were like, we better go and check this out. And yeah, it wasn't for my mum and dad. My dad said he just couldn't get past the brain sawing. Like, they can't deal with gore. Like, you know, they're not too bad with swearing and all the rest, but it just wasn't for them. But, like, also, it's not a movie that your parents who are nearly 70, it's not for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The problem with this film is that everyone loves it. So it's very hard to find, like, interesting reviews.
I feel like there's always the naysayers, the whole, like, Ghostbusters all women cast thing where there's like some group who are like, oh, it's just dumb because it's a bunch of women or something like that.
Or you know that then it would just be white supremacist people being like, there's too many black people in this movie and it's racist to white people. You know it would be that. Please tell me you didn't find reviews like that, Paul. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, thank God.
Because we know they're out there and I don't want to.
Thank God.
So this one's from, this one's from Russ Mann on Letterboxd. He gives it 4 stars and he says, I'm switching from tea to coffee. And this one's from Meme Millie on Letterboxd. He gives it 4.5 stars. And she says, my favorite commentary that I've read about this movie was from Rian Johnson, who said, I love that if the movie Get Out existed in the world of Get Out, the parents would have told Chris how much they loved Get Out.
Yeah. That's very funny. I would have seen it twice, three times if I could. Yeah.
It's pretty much universally loved.
And fucking good on you, Jordan Peele. He carved out a nation as like the king.
Yeah. I think that haters started coming out when he released Us, and now they're firmly in place now that Nope is out.
Yeah, I'm trying not to involve, to find anything out about Nope or anything. I really want to go in fresh. God knows when it will be before I can see it. But, I think there's always your sophomore film or your sophomore album is always hard, especially when what you do first is so well received.
Well, I've seen people say, this is his signs because obviously, if you look at M. Night Shyamalan, you have Get Out and The Sixth Sense as their first features, and then Unbreakable for Shyamalan and Us for Peele.
Mm.
And now they've both done their third film, which are horrors about alien invasions.
Don't tell me.
and that have both had some the pretty much like straight down the middle people loving and hating it.
Interesting.
I really hope Peele doesn't have a Lady in the Water in him or The Last Airbender.
Yeah, Lady in the Water for sure. No, but I like Signs. Sue me.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Signs when it came out. I haven't watched it for a long time, but
why can't they get girlfriends? Me and my sister still always say that. It's a line from that movie.
But
bunch of guys who can't get girlfriends. Yeah, anyway, edit that out. I'm such a bitch. I have no personality.
What were you going to say, Ren?
I was just going to say, I feel like anyone who, reaches a certain level of, there's just people who...
Yeah, it's like the Beatles,
want
man.
...want to be like, I'm an individual because I don't enjoy
what everyone enjoys. Yeah, and I don't listen to what everyone else says, and that makes me smarter than everyone. But it's like, really, you're just missing out on listening to the Beatles, dude. Fucking go and have a bloody cry wank over it.
Because, I feel like you could exist. You could exist and not like this film. But I don't think you would have so much wrong with it that you think it's abhorrent. You know what I mean? It's a solid script through and through. There's no way you could fault it for that.
Then he sent me some weird pitch, and I'm like, oh, man, that's Andre Haysworth. This dude been missing for 6 months, right? So I do all my research, because as a TSA agent, you guys are detectives. I got the same training, We might know more than y'all sometimes, because we dealing with some terrorist shit. But that's a totally different story. So, look, I go do my detective work, right? And I start putting pieces together. And see, this is what I came up with. They're probably abducting black people, brainwashing them, and making them slaves, or sex slaves, not just regular slaves, but sex slaves and shit. See, I don't know if it's the hypnosis that's making them slaves or whatnot, but all I know is they already got two brothers we know, and it could be a whole bunch of brothers they got already. What's the next move?
And don't ever say that I don't do nothing for you.
All right, let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. And also another note, we also do our special mini-sode episodes, which if you haven't checked them out, they're on the main feed, but we take these films that we recommend on the show and make each other watch one of our recommendations. So they're usually some fun times to be had. So if you haven't checked them out, check them out.
And there's some good stuff there.
Yeah, there really is.
At least a third.
A lot of banter. Yeah.
Usually two of the films are shit and one of them is good.
Yeah, like the Paul and Lucy ones usually really good.
All right, so because of those tenuous recommendations episode, I usually veer towards things that you guys haven't watched. But there's a film that's linked to this film that I feel so passionately about that even though I know you both have watched it several times, I still have to recommend it because I love this film.
Several times? What
yeah,
is
I
it?
Have no idea what he's talking about.
I love this film with every fiber of my being. I've watched it countless times.
Have you forgot the name of it?
I quote it every day.
What is it?
And that is the 1995 film Billy Madison. which co-stars Bradley Whitford from Get Out.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
Exactly. Like, stop looking at me, swan. Like,
how do you really? That's really what you're doing. I thought there was a chance that you and me might have the same one, but we do not. I'm definitely a Billy Madison person over Happy Gilmore, for sure.
Yeah, I personally think Billy Madison is the best thing that Adam Sandler's ever done in his whole career.
But have you seen The Cobbler?
it's just a classic film, but we're getting to the point, like, it was 1995. We've got a whole generation of people that haven't seen it yet. So, like, I was able to introduce this to my niece and nephew this year. And
I can imagine getting into it.
Yeah, 14 and 10, and they thought it was hilarious.
14, I'm okay with 10.
I mean, there's a little bit of, like, naughty stuff, but it's not that bad. Like, it's pretty tame.
That Varane.
Yeah. the thing is, like, what kids see on YouTube is fucking abhorrent, and nothing is going to be as damaging. Bad as that.
Yeah.
So I'm so scared about. I hope that by the time Otis is,
there's an apocalypse. Help me. No internet, help me. So
I truly hope, for your sanity's sake, he doesn't watch other people playing Minecraft constantly, because that's what my nephew does. He just watches other people play Minecraft and blabber on top of it, and is the most awful thing you'll ever watch.
How great is the Bo Burnham takedown of that? The thing he did in Inside, where it's like
him doing a commentary on his commentary of his
So anyway, Billy Madison, it's a film about a rich kid who has never amounted to anything in his life.
You're really going to do the plot of Billy Madison?
Yeah. and he wants to take over his father's company, but his father's like, okay, you can, as long as you go through all of schooling again. Like one every month you'll do a year of schooling. So he has to start from kindergarten all the way up to year 12. And hilarity ensues, and it's
We're
just a classic.
We're here to help you, Billy. Yes, yeah, so your goal today.
So good. Like, may God have mercy on your soul. Like, there's just
Stay
so many
as
fucking
long as
good
you can.
We are all stupider for having heard you. So good.
The amount of times that was cut with things that Trump said. So good.
Every time I hear someone mention Miles Davis, I'm like, pee in your pants is cool, then call me Miles Davis. It's like, it's so many fucking good quotes. It's so good. It's the best. It is genuinely would be in my, like, top 10 movies of all time. Mm-hmm. Fucking love Billy Madison.
And it's totally when Adam Sandler was real hottie with the body.
Yeah, yeah. And Bradley Whitford plays the villain, has a great moment. That
does.
Involves,
I totally forgot you recommended this.
Yeah, he has an amazing moment where he's wearing some shorts that are too short for him to avoid. So good.
It's
so
really
good.
Crazy. That is the same guy. That's crazy.
The guy you gave a heart. Yeah.
All right, Lucy, what's yours?
I'm doing Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, are you now?
What? What's wrong with that?
Because Brendan wanted to do that one.
Oh my god, this is so funny.
We're doing Sorry to Bother You.
Officially, this is the first time this has ever happened, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like a jinx moment or something.
So do you have to fight to the death now?
So Lakeith Stanfield, let's both rap about it then, Brendan. I just don't even know what to say, because the movie's like this weird alternate reality.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like this just pairs so nicely with Get Out. Like, it's almost like a palate cleanser, because it's like you have that same vibe and tone, but it also has like a really, you know, deep message that it's trying to convey as well. But at the same time, it's doing such absurdist yes. comedy that just makes it such a joy to watch as well.
Like, and it's got a great cast as well. Like, there's heaps of other people in it, Tessa Thompson and Terry Crews. And there's all these voice cameos that are like these little Easter eggs in there.
David Cross and Patton Oswalt. Mm. Yeah, doing the widest voices you know.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. Really good movie. Obviously, Brendan thinks so too, because we're besties. Yeah,
I also agree. I really enjoyed that movie. So.
Cool. So we're not like rocking anyone's world with these. We've all seen the movies that we're recommending to each other.
Have you heard about this film, Billy Madison?
It's a little indie flick. It's not but like it was on TV every Friday night when we were in high school.
If you're a Charlie Kaufman fan, I feel like you would vibe with this sort of stuff, like this writing style and stuff. And also
completely.
The music's done by Tuneyards, which is like an artist I really love. Like the whole soundtrack is by them and it's awesome as well. So I'll recommend the soundtrack. How about that?
There you go. Cool.
Oh, you're going to love this. My dad's claim to fame was beat by Jesse Owens in the qualifying round for the Berlin Olympics in 1936. Those are the ones where...
Well, Owens won in front of Hitler.
Yeah, what a moment. What a moment. I mean, Hitler's up there with all his perfect Aryan race bullshit. This black dude comes along, proves him wrong in front of the entire world. Amazing.
Tough break for your dad, though.
Yeah. He almost got over it.
So if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we have reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put Get Out on our lists?
I remember when you told us this. This was my first thought. Like, oh my gosh, I have to compare this with Being John Malkovich because I feel like it's a top tier film for sure. And I'm really torn.
Yeah, because this is the first film in a while that has like top placement contention.
Yeah, exactly. But not just that. Like all the things I would say about Big Joker Malkovich, like just the tightest script with like everything like resolved. Everyone's like, what's it called? Casting is just like to a T. Like obviously, both have Catherine Keener.
Big plus. Okay, who's going to go first? Who's going to bite the bullet?
All right, I'm going to go first. I am actually going to put it fifth on my list.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, just after being... So, it's in between Being John Malkovich and Heart and Souls, but it's behind Your Name, Freaky, and The Hot Chick.
I'm putting it in between Heart and Souls and Being John Malkovich, so it's third. So, it's Big, Heart and Souls, this... And Being John Malkovich, I like it more than Being John Malkovich. I said it. And the only reason it's not going above Heart and Souls is because Heart and Souls will take care of you on a day when you're sick. And if I'm sick, I'm not watching Get Out. It's too stressful. such a good movie.
Yeah, because if you look at my list, I mean, I think Your Name I would stand by as like, on a filmmaking and everything level, I'm quite happy with that being number one. But like Freaky and the Hot Chick obviously aren't as high-minded or like high art as some of these other films, but just in pure enjoyment, comfort level, that's why they're so high on my list. Especially
and you don't really like high art. We've established that.
True.
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
Fuck you.
I'm more of a Billy Madison kind of guy.
Well, you know what? I'm happy with that. You get to a certain age, you're like, I like what I like.
Yeah.
Brendan, where are you putting it?
I'm putting it number two. I'm sticking with John Malkovich as my top tier swap film, but it is a coin flip. This is an awesome film. I hope everyone who's listening has seen it and we haven't ruined it all.
Yeah.
But even so, watching it a second time, I still had like we all said, like I had a trip.
Yeah.
7 years later.
All right. So how are we going to follow up such a highly regarded
We're
going to
crash back to Earth so hard.
Yeah, we are. Because we're watching the 2020 French comedy Family Swap, where the story follows the Morells, including two teenagers and a seven-year-old kid who are driving their parents out of their minds. One morning, they all wake up inside each other's bodies.
Wait, so an entire family switches with another family?
No, every member of this family swaps with each other.
So I'm guessing the kids are the adults and the adults are the kids. No? Yes, that's what I meant.
I don't know.
Yeah. Of course, it will be.
But it's not an adaptation of the TV series Wife Swap.
No.
No, okay.
God, remember that show? For fuck's sake.
I had no idea what it's about.
Oh, my God. Why would you have ever watched it? And it was insanity.
There is some classic Wife Swaps. Like, there's one where, like, the kid just goes completely mental. I'll show you the clip. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. But, yeah. So, we did... what was the name of the Filipino one we did?
The Bride or something.
Oh, Here Comes the Bride. So, that was a pretty ambitious swap, a five-people swap. So, I think this one's similar. I think maybe even six people this time. So,
oh, Lord.
Wow.
yeah.
That's so many children for starters. About
a Mormon family.
Yeah.
What was that, Brendan?
I said, I can't wait for the sequel about a Mormon family swap.
20 swaps. so yeah, that should be a fun one. I'll be back from my overseas travels, so we'll see if I can record a podcast while recovering from monkeypox.
Oh dear.
Good luck. Just stop. Don't kiss any monkeys. That's all you have to do.
Okay, noted. I wasn't planning on it, but now that you said it, I'll definitely.
Can you get the vax?
I can't. It's coming out the week. It's coming out in Australia the week after I leave. So,
you know, when you're just like, I'm just like work. Barely got my head around coronavirus. It's like, Do I need to get vaccinated for monkeypox? This is nuts, man. We got to make some changes.
It's pretty much just us gays, so you'll be fine. Well,
that's not true. I've seen a lot of messaging about how that's harmful rhetoric. So,
look, the thing is, to get wildly off topic for this
episode. Is anyone even listening anymore, by the way?
The end of the podcast.
The monkeypox cast. Yeah, it is mainly going through the gate. Like 90% of infections are like gay people. But the thing is, you shouldn't be stigmatizing gay people. Like if they want to be sluts and give each other monkeypox, let's all just be okay with that.
Yeah, be a slut. Do what you want and be safe and get the vax if you can, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the official Swapcast message.
Be a slut. Yeah. Do what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know
sluts
what?
Sluts deserve to live.
Yeah, I agree.
What we're saying, right?
Yeah. Imagine how boring my life would be if there were no sluts.
Interesting.
We
what is
have
the insinuation
as
here?
Funny stories.
But you know what people shouldn't have a choice over is their ability to not review us on iTunes or Spotify.
That was the most clumsy way of saying that.
Segway smash, yeah.
So if you haven't reviewed us on...
They shouldn't have the ability to choose to do it. Is that what you said?
They shouldn't have the ability to choose not to do it.
Look, if you're a slut and you're out there and you're a listener, you better write a review. We just gave sluts a glowing review. So come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mention the fact that we're pro-slut.
Yeah.
You don't even have to write a review about the podcast. Just give us five stars and write your opinions about monkeypox.
Oh, dear.
All right. So until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground and do what we say and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Duck Queen Duck.
No, you weren't.
Brendan Levi. Yeah, bye.
See you. Bye. The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Thanks for listening.
By the way, I would have voted for Obama for a third term if I could. Best president in my lifetime, hands down.
I agree.
Yeah.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.